This is the Agile Thoughts Podcast, and I'm Lance Kine.
Yeah, I'm Brian Finster. I've been a software developer for 3 decades or so. I'm mostly doing enterprise supply chain software, and then also later on platform. I've got a personal mission about how do we make software development suck less. My focus is how do we improve the supply chain of software delivery end to end, because if we can remove the waste and pain from that, we'll have far fewer sleepless nights.
This is a continuing episode of a series about how AI will take our jobs. The first episode of the series was number 315. I wanted to catch up with our conversation on LinkedIn over the chat. Did you happen to have advice or feedback? I approached it by doing what I did with Junies. I have a README that explains what I'm trying to do. And then this version already existed. And then I said, since I wanted to try out Claude, and I want to also try out this new library, I was trying out Crotty, to be specific. I wanted to build the same tests that I've done in Rest Assured, but use Crotty. And so I said, here's the test in Rest Assured. Make me Crotty tests for that. I explained that in the README because I was trying this earlier with Junie first. And then Claude, what it did is I knitted it. And when I knitted it, I made a branch and I pulled in the code changes and I want to try this out with Claude, and I knitted it. And Claude looked at the README and it pulled in what it kind of thought was directionally needed in the Claude.md. And I looked at it and it looks pretty good. And my criticism of that is I feel like it's weird that I have to have an MD file for Claude when the README was probably sufficient, because if that's sufficient for the humans.
Well, I mean, I don't typically have a README for features we're going to develop. I would have, either a feature file or some other file out there. I think there's also important to understand that there's limited context. So I asked Claude what the correct structure for a Claude file was so that I could not exceed context limitations. And it's suggested that, number one, you have a limit of 200 to 250, 300 lines in a Claude file, or in a file that you wanted to consume, so that it can go back and refer to it, and it's not, the context isn't too large. So there's the architecture you would use. So you would have a Claude file that would be the overall, I call it the working agreement. So this is an overall working agreement. We always use test-driven development. Here's what TDDD means. We're going to run these commands after we change. Here's the architectural constraints. Like, I use FP patterns. We're always going to use FP patterns. We're not going to use JavaScript classes. We're going to use functions. So this is like the constraints. And then if I need to go into more detail on something, break it out to another file and say, you can see information about this over here, I don't know, style or something, and we're going to stick it in another file, right? And then over here is the file that we're going to use for features, but for the things that we plan to implement. But then, I'm not going to tell it to read the whole file. I'm going to say, okay, now read this portion of it, so we keep context under control. Keeping our context under control is really important. And so you need to modularize things by the domain they're in. This is just like any other development, right? And so you could jam it all in one file and say, read the README, but you get better results if you structure things.
Because this was good advice. Some of this was stuff I hadn't considered because I didn't start with Claude, and I'm just I literally built something small using a README, but you're right, it's not going to scale eventually. The README is getting too big, and then I'm mixing concerns.
Well, and the other thing I always recommend to people is get involved with the community. One of the reasons I'm out there on LinkedIn is so I can also learn. And so I'm talking to other people who are not going, oh, yeah, he's garbage. They're like, hey, this is a new thing, a new way I learned how to interact to get a result. And so we can compare notes, right? And then I'm on a Discord community with, Martin Fowler's on the Discord community, so it's kind of cool, where we're... you know, comparing notes on different aspects of this. My wife works at Walmart. Back when we were really pushing continuous delivery at Walmart, she started a developer community around that topic. That community lasted for years. And now with, you know, everyone going back to work because Walmart was remote for a while, but now they're really pushing to get people back in the office and online in communities like that. Really, you need in person. You just can't do it remotely. They don't work well. She's restarted that community, but with a focus on how do we use AI to help us do our work.
Oh.
And so that community of sharing ideas, you're not going to learn very fast on your own. You really need to join communities and learn and share what you know, no matter how stupid you might think people think it is. Other people don't know what you think you think is dumb, and learn from other people.
Nice. Yeah, I'll put some communities that I know of in the show notes. If some come pop into your mind and you want to share them with me over LinkedIn chat, I'll put them in the show notes too. Yeah, you're right on the money on that one, because we're all learning together. This is like special interest group material. You know, yeah. This isn't just like we're going back to talk more about Java. This is like something really different and that seems similar because you can apply it, but there's a skill involved to applying it in a skillful way to get good results.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and that's cool. That's why I'm confident about the patterns that we're establishing patterns, is because people are independently coming to the same conclusion on patterns. And so that tells me that we now have patterns we can follow.
Do you have a sense when the agentic AI needs more guidance? Is there some tells that you're starting to pick up on, like, oh, maybe I need to specify more? Because sometimes I try to specify things at a high level, like a product owner, just to see what happens. And sure. Sometimes I get good results, but what do you see?
It starts making decisions I don't agree with. It starts changing too much at one time or too big of a chunk. Although Claude and I had a disagreement that led to me not doing work that I thought was interesting. It wasn't really a disagreement. I told Claude to do something it disagreed with and told me it would be better if I didn't do this.
Oh, cool.
Right. So, I mean, it basically, it wasn't anything dramatic. It's just that it told me no. Okay.
Yeah.
And all it was that, you know, we've got a sitemap, and the sitemap is statically generated during the build of the site. And I'm new to this whole SEO stuff, and I've done web development a lot, but it's been enterprise web development, not anything external focus. So there's skills I just don't have and things I just don't know. And I said, well, maybe it'll be better if we dynamically generate the sitemap. And Claude said, no, it would really be, because I thought, well, maybe that'll make the code less complex, because there's like some pages are static, some pages are dynamic, and there's all the stuff we have to do during the build to make sure we get all the pages correct. And, you know, we can just remove all of that complexity if it was just dynamic site generation off a route. And Claude's like, you're going to have better performance and more reliable sitemap if you do it the way you're doing it now.
Hmm. Cool.
But I didn't ask it. I just said, change it to dynamic. It said, are you sure?
It whined at you.
Yeah, it was like a smart developer going, instead of just doing what it's told, going, a product owner, I know that's what you're asking for, but let me explain to you why you might not want to do that.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Yeah. It had us an opinion. Yeah.
But it's also very stupid at things, right? And so you need to verify what it's doing, but also understand that it might know more something about something than you do.
Right. Well, cool, Brian. I'm going to let you go, man. That was a good show. I'm pretty satisfied. I feel like we got a lot of value, and it's even keeping the recorder on for that last bit. That's really, there's some good stuff there. So
yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for letting me rant a little bit about this.
Of course, it's a podcast. What do you, if you came on here to not talk about anything, it'd be really boring. See you, man.
See you later. Yeah, I'm Brian Finster. I've been a software developer for 3 decades or so. I'm mostly doing enterprise supply chain software, and then also later on platform. I've got a personal mission about how do we make software development suck less. My focus is how do we improve the supply chain of software delivery end to end? Because if we can remove the waste and pain from that, we'll have far fewer sleepless nights.
Cool. Any call to action you'd like people to take?
If you don't know how to do continuous delivery, you're going to really struggle with these new platforms. Everybody I know who's deep in the CD space is having no problem at all. They've been using it for the daily work for a long time. All they're doing is talking back and forth about ways to improve it. Anybody who's telling you this hasn't been around long enough to establish patterns is wrong. We know what the patterns are. It's the same patterns you need to do CD well.
And the patterns you're talking about, are you referring to AI as a platform and that continuous delivery is a good skill to use with the AI?
Yeah, so work in small batches, test-driven approaches to everything, and integrate frequently.
Right on. Cool, man.
You know, it's just basic XP. Kent Beck's using these tools too, guys. So you're not give up the title of real developer if you actually dig in and use new tools.
Check out the show notes because we will have value there that enhances your listening experience. What are show notes? Show notes show up right in your podcast player for your easy access. You can read them as you listen to the show. If instead you downloaded the show as an MP3 from a website, go back to the website where you got that MP3 and there you will see the show notes. This is a continuing series that started at episode 315. Go to agilethoughts.info and there you can find a search box and you can search up the episode number that you care about. This is the last episode of the series. If you're like my friend Ricardo and you missed one, go ahead and type in your favorite search engine, Agile Thoughts. AI taking our jobs.